Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And just for a moment, let's recap the breaking news this afternoon. And that is the fact that federal authorities say that three men are under arrest in connection with the Boston Marathon bombings. Two of the men are reportedly from the Central Asian nation of Kazakhstan. They studied allegedly at UMass Dartmouth, where bombing suspect Jahar Tsarnaev was also a student. In the criminal complaint that was filed against them by federal authorities, the complaint included allegations that two of the men removed a backpack from Jahar Tsarnaev's dorm room at UMass Dartmouth, and that backpack allegedly contained fireworks that had been emptied of their powder. The three men are scheduled to appear at Joseph Moakley Federal Courthouse in Boston in this hour. When they do, as soon as we can, we have a reporter there. We will bring the latest to you. But now, as we wait for that to unfold at the courthouse, let's turn to another pressing issue in Massachusetts news, and that is Massachusetts politics. Because last night, a somewhat sleepy election season woke right up when Democratic primary voters nominated Congressman Ed Markey and Republican voters picked Cohasset businessman Gabriel Gomez to face each other in the Massachusetts special election for the United States Senate. The general election is on June 25th. WBUR's Fred Bever was on the campaign trail today with Ed Markey and Gabriel Gomez as they began the final 8 weeks of this race.
The contrasts in experience couldn't be clearer. A 37-year congressman, Markey has the profile of a political warhorse steeped in the state's long history of Democratic Party dominance. At 47, Gomez is the fresh political face, a former Navy SEAL and successful businessman whose parents emigrated here from Colombia.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I like your shirt.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Greeting voters this morning at a South Boston tea station, Gomez emphasized the contrast.
There couldn't be a sharper contrast. I mean, you've got somebody here who literally, in 1976, was playing Little League Baseball when Congressman Markey first got elected. There can't be a better poster boy for term limits than Congressman Markey. This is somebody who, when he first ran and got elected, said that he'd served two terms, self-imposed. Well, I think we're now on his 19th or 20th term, and he's been down there since 1976.
Congressman Markey is offering his own comparisons.
Gabriel Gomez says that he is not pro-choice. I am pro-choice. Gabriel Gomez says that he does not believe that there should be a ban on assault weapons, that he does not believe that there should be a ban on these magazines with so many bullets on them attached to an assault weapon that they really only belong on the battlefields of the world but not on the streets of the United States. Well, I believe that we should be banning assault weapons. I believe that we should be banning these magazines.
Markey appeared this morning at a Democratic Party unity event. The loser of the Democratic primary, South Boston Congressman Stephen Lynch, was by Markey's side. Like Republican Gomez, Lynch had played the outsider card. But now, Lynch says he was criticizing the Washington Democratic machine, not Markey.
Think about the hidden machine here. And that's the outside money. That's the big money that's in play here. That's what people in Massachusetts should be rejecting.
Markey is again asking Gomez to take the so-called People's Pledge to discourage third-party campaign spending in the race, but Gomez rejects the idea. He says Markey's past record of taking lobbyist money makes that a hypocritical offer.
I will only take one pledge, and it's the pledge I took when I was a naval officer, and that's to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Gomez's first challenge to Markey, three debates between now and the June 25th election. Although he won't commit to a specific number, Markey says it's on.
WBUR's Fred Bever with that report on the first day of campaigning in these last 8 weeks until the Senate special election. Well, joining us now with more on what we might see in the coming 2 months is our political roundtable. Susan Tracy is a former Democratic state representative and current president of the Strategy Group. Susan, good to have you back.
Hey, thanks, Meghna. Good to be here.
Also with us is Rob Gray. He's a Republican analyst and founder and president of Gray Media. Rob, good to have you back as well.
Hi, Meghna.
So, Rob, let's start with you. I think it was, what, yesterday or before Monday. It's already been a long week for me when we last talked. You said that you thought that on the Republican side, the winner might, you know, win by a small handful of votes, 100 to several thousand. And yet Gabriel Gomez pulls out 51% of the vote, 96,000 GOP primary voters versus Michael Sullivan, who came in second with 36% of the vote. So he beats him by, what, 30,000 votes, a pretty decisive win for Gomez. What do you think that means?
I was surprised by the margin, and I think it shows that money matters in campaigns. Gomez outspent Sullivan and Winslow significantly, and was the only only candidate advertising on TV. And the totals around the state show what that means. I mean, Sullivan was really turned into a regional candidate in Plymouth County, which is where he's from. That's really the only place that he won significantly, and Gomez won all around the rest of the state with his TV advertising. So, but I also think it shows that Gomez was seen by Republican Party voters as the moderate, as a moderate candidate, and that's something he's going to try and take here into the general election. I think Sullivan, there were not enough conservative voters to carry Sullivan over the top.
Mm. Now, Susan Tracy, on that note, that's exactly the question I was going to turn to you. You might presume that in the minds of Ed Markey, the man that he wanted to run against might have been Michael Sullivan, because it was easiest to paint very different political differences between the two men. But as Rob Gray said, Gabriel Gomez doesn't quite fit that mold of conservative Republican. So what do you think the Markey camp makes of the fact that this relatively unknown, no political experience, but fresh-faced, as he's been called, Gabriel Gomez, is the man he's got Ed Markey has to run against?
Well, I think you raise a good point when you say we don't know about him. So, you know, what I found really interesting about this race, because nobody paid attention to it, was every candidate was defined by what they told you they were. So usually in races, someone says, I'm this or that, and their opponents are pushed back and say, oh, but not really. And I think in this race, what we find is that everyone got to define themselves. And to Rob's point, which I think is a good one, money evidently did matter in this race, and the ability to get on TV allowed you to define yourself. I think over the next 8 weeks, we'll find out who Gomez really is, and we'll also really start to understand the national platforms of both of the parties and what this race is all about in terms of the direction of the country.
Well, Ed Markey's already trying to do that. I mean, he said in a statement, I believe, that Gabriel Gomez is a typical Republican domino for the national GOP party, seeking to take control of the Senate and enact an extreme agenda that's bad for Massachusetts, end quote. So we're already seeing the Markey camp trying to paint Gabriel Gomez as a pawn for the national party. Do you think that's going to be effective for voters?
I think given that Gomez is clearly signaling loud and clear that he's going to take national money in this race, that will become a narrative that's factual. I think if you're taking national money and from the groups whose agendas that, you know, you'll be taking the money from, you're presumably they support you for that, I think it is going to tie you to a national campaign.
Mm. Rob Gray, Susan Tracy was referring there to the so-called People's Pledge that Gabriel Gomez says he will not follow, so hence accepting national money in this race. I wonder, from a political standpoint, how might voters react to that? But from a strategic standpoint, maybe is that good strategy for him because there's only 8 weeks to run in this race?
Gomez did the right thing today by rejecting Markey's call to accept the People's Pledge. Gomez's only chance in this race is to outspend Ed Markey, and that doesn't just mean campaign to campaign. That means campaign plus outside allies from Washington or elsewhere to the other guy's campaign and allies. So Gomez needs to outspend. He can't afford to take this pledge. And I don't think the voters care. If you look back at campaign finance over the years in elections, the voters do not get as caught up in, as the political media and the candidates do, campaign finance and did this money come from a PAC or did this money come from an individual. So I don't think that will matter politically in the long run. And Gomez has to be able to define Markey as a Washington insider. He can't just say it on the stump as he did in the news report before the segment. it's got to be in paid advertising, wall to wall, all over the state, and that takes money.
Now, on the other hand, Susan Tracy, the Democrats are taking this race very seriously. I mean, we heard last night Senator Elizabeth Warren at Ed Markey's primary victory party saying, "We remember 2010 and that race between Martha Coakley and Scott Brown," which, of course, Coakley lost. And so they've got a ground game that they put into effect for Elizabeth Warren's own campaign. Is that ground game and all those volunteers and the organization of the state Democratic Party, you know, is that a bulwark against what Rob Gray is saying about all the national money that may be coming into this state in the next 8 weeks?
Look, the Democratic Party ground game was strong in 2012. It was strong in 2010 with Deval Patrick. I think it's going to have to get up and running. I think it was running. I saw some good activity at the polls yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, we're Democrats are strong as we are the party of labor and of the people and of the grassroots. We are not the party of big money and big power. So our strength is on the ground, and I think we're going to see that ground game in play over the next 8 weeks.
I think the problem, Meghna, is that this is a subset election. A special election is not your normal fall election. So you're going to have at least 1 million less voters than you had in 2012, Brown versus Warren. So the playbook may work, but it may not work. I don't think Democrats are going to get caught sleeping again, but it's much harder to turn out voters in a special election in June when the college students have gone home for the summer than it is in a November presidential election where those Democratic voters are already energized to come out for President Obama.
Wouldn't the same logic apply to the GOP side, that it's tough to get voters of any stripe out in a June special election?
Well, it's harder, but it's worked before. I mean, generally in Massachusetts, since it's an overwhelmingly Democratic state, Republicans do better in elections when there is lower turnout. State elections and gubernatorial years, the results are much better than presidential elections where you have a lot more casual voters. Casual voters tend to be overwhelmingly Democrat or lean Democrat. So it just makes the window a little bit wider for Gabriel Gomez to get through.
Susan, I'd love to hear your response to that, because Rob's saying you can't get it done.
Well, I'm not saying that. I actually agree with the analysis that it is harder to get people out in a special election. That's in general too true, and that the more people who come out in races, the more Democrats who go out, because we're an overwhelmingly Democratic state. So I do agree that our work is cut out for us. We have got to really work hard to turn out our vote, and we are not going to be caught sleeping in this election.
Well, there are 8 weeks to go, voters, so you're going to be getting a lot of attention from both parties in the coming 2 months. And with that thought, Susan Tracy is the former Democratic state representative and president of the Strategy Group. Susan, always great to have you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Meghna.
And Rob Gray, Republican analyst and founder and president of Gray Media. Rob, thank you as well.
Thank you.